भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
Krishna chapter 4 verses 21 to 29.
Nirashiryata chittatma, nirashiryata chittatma, yakta sarva parigraha, yakta sarva parigraha, shariram kevalam karma, shariram kevalam karma, kurvannapnoti kilvisham, kurvannapnoti kilvisham, nirashiryata chittatma, yakta sarva parigraha, शारीरं केवलं कर्म कुर्वन्नाप्नोति किल्बिषम्। यदृच्छालापसन्तुष्टः यदृच्छालापसन्तुष्टः द्वन्द्वातीतो विमत्सरः द्वन्द्वातीतो विमत्सरः समसिद्धावसिद्धौ च समसिद्धावसिद्धौ च कृत्वापि न निबध्यते कृत्वापि न निबध्यते। यदृच्छालापसन्तुष्टः द्वन्द्वातीतो विमत्सरः समसिद्धावसिद्धौ च कृत्वापि न निबध्यते। गतसङ्गस्य मुक्तस्य गतसङ्गस्य मुक्तस्य ज्ञानावस्थितचेतसः ज्ञानावस्थितचेतसः यज्ञायाचरतत्कर्म यज्ञायाचरतत्कर्म समग्रं प्रविलीयते समग्रं प्रविलीयते। गतसङ्गस्य मुक्तस्य ज्ञानावस्थितचेतसः यज्ञायाचरतत्कर्म समग्रं प्रविलीयते। ब्रह्मार्पणं ब्रह्म हविः ब्रह्मार्पणं ब्रह्म हविः ब्रह्माग्नौ ब्रह्मणाहुतम् ब्रह्माग्नौ ब्रह्मणाहुतम् ब्रह्मैव तेन गन्तव्यम् ब्रह्मैव तेन गन्तव्यम् ब्रह्मकर्मसमाधिना ब्रह्मकर्मसमाधिना ब्रह्मार्पणं ब्रह्म हविः ब्रह्माग्नौ ब्रह्मणाहुतम् ब्रह्मैव तेन गन्तव्यम् ब्रह्मकर्मसमाधिना। दैवमेवापरे यज्ञम् दैवमेवापरे यज्ञम् योगिनः पर्युपासते योगिनः पर्युपासते। ब्रह्माग्नावपरे यज्ञम् ब्रह्माग्नावपरे यज्ञम् यज्ञेनैवोपजुपते यज्ञेनैवोपजुपते। दैवमेवापरे यज्ञम् योगिनः पर्युपासते ब्रह्माग्नावपरे यज्ञम् यज्ञेनैवोपजुपते। Abhyani, who is not knowledgeable, he even though remains silent, the ego is very much alive in him. He very much is an actor and doer. Whereas a jnani, even though he is acting, the inside of a jnani, there is no ego, there is no doership. In spite of doing, he remains a non-doer. Ajnani, in spite of not doing, remains a doer. This is what he is trying to convey here, Lord Krishna. Why is he saying this in this context? Because Arjuna resorted to non-doing. Krishna is asking him to do. And in the second chapter, when Lord Krishna answered to Arjuna's surrender, he was emphasizing more on knowledge. So in the third chapter, when Arjuna asks a question, he says, జాయసీ చే కర్మనస్తే మహాబుద్ధిర్జనార్దన తత్కి కర్మని గోరేయా గోరే మా నియోజయసి కేశవ జ్ఞాని శ్రేణే వాక్యేన బుద్ధి మోహయసి మమే తదేకం పద నిశ్చిత్య ఏన శ్రేయోగమాప్యాం. Lord Krishna, if you consider knowledge superior to action, O Janardana, why then do you compel me, impel me, force me to do Ghora Karma, terrible action of killing especially my guru and great grandfather, etc.? And with an apparently perplexing speech of yours, you are confusing my intent as it were. So tell me with certainty only one thing by which I can attain Shreya. What he asked. So in other words, what he is saying to Arjuna, to Lord Krishna, is you have been emphasizing on knowledge, if I understood you correctly in the second chapter, which concluded just recently. But all the while, along with it, you have been emphasizing me to do action also. If it is knowledge, then why should I do action? So Krishna is telling here, what he means by knowledge is not information. That information is something that comes from outside. That information is something that comes from external source, not something that is coming from within you. So when he talked about knowledge, he is obviously talking about knowledge that is coming from within, the knowledge of Atma, the knowledge of real self. Once you have the knowledge of the real self, meaning you are an enlightened soul. An enlightened soul could be in action, need not be in action. So if supposing you see a lifestyle of action called as Grahasthasrama, or a lifestyle of sannyas, where no action is performed. Two lifestyles are possible, and jnani could be in sannyas, or jnani could be in grahasthasrama. As far as its inner state of development is concerned, there is no difference. But as far as the external activity is concerned, one is in pravritti marga, other one is in nivritti marga. Pravritti nivritti means what? One who is engaged in doing action, other is engaged in withdrawal of action. He is away from the action. But as far as the inner state is concerned, it's the same. As far as he is a jnani. Similarly, the opposite is also true. He is explaining that here. Whereas Ajnani may be not engaging in action, or may be engaging in action. Whether or not he engages in action, he continues to have the doership attitude. This is the difference. So he says, Ajnani, even though remaining inactive, understand that he is a doer. To explain this, I gave the example of you having an argument with somebody, your children or your spouse or somebody, colleague, and you stop doing actions at home. Inside is, let me see how they are functioning without me. But externally you are non-dual. But inside you are a dual. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, be like this. Externally be a dual, wherever there is a necessity. But internally be a non-dual. So in 20 he says, having renounced attachment to the fruit of action, karma phala sangam, tyaktva karma phala sangam, verse number 20 of chapter 4. Having renounced attachment to the fruit of action. Now it's interesting. Karma phala, if you take as two words, karma is action, phala is the fruit of action. We have egoistic attitude while we do the action. Our action would be done with egoistic attitude, and we would be attached to the result of the action. So when he says he is free from attachment to the fruit, meaning he has no doership or egoistic attitude when he does the action. And nitya tripta, tripti, for us the tripti comes from outside objects. The outside objects are constantly changing. Anything that is constantly changing cannot give you tripti always. So if somebody is tripti always, ever content, then obviously the tripti is not coming from the contact, the tripti is coming from within. So nitya tripta means his tripti is coming from his inner state, from within. Is not coming from the external object or being. Anything that comes, for example, sukha comes, and you register sukha. By the time you registered sukha, it has become dukkha, because it's constantly changing. So when you say somebody is ever content, nitya tripta, that ever content itself indicates to us that his contentment is not coming from outside, it is coming from inside. Nirashraya, without any dependence, ashraya. Now these words, some people say, talks about a jnani who is in sannyasi lifestyle. Some people say it is both. It is applicable to both, like I said. It's a question of how you look at it. Depending on nothing. Depending on nothing, is it possible for a grihastha? Dependence is there. At the physical level and at the mental level. Now, you would see, like I said, a sannyasi dependent on nothing, even at the physical level. Grihastha is dependent on something at the physical level. But as far as his mental state is concerned, he is not dependent. To come to his class, you are dependent on a transport. Supposing you decided to sit in one place only, you decided to have a lifestyle where you have to be seated in one place only, then automatically your physical dependence on a car is not there. Are you with me? There are people who sit down doing nothing, as a result of which physical dependence is not there really. But mentally, they may be dependent. Dependent on the opinion of others. That others look at me as somebody who is evolved, who doesn't even have a car. After having chosen to live such a lifestyle, If I continue to have the mental dependency on others' opinion, then after so many years of giving up all the physical comforts, I come to know that many people or no one or everyone thinks I'm not such a great sannyasi. I'll be terribly upset because hoping that these people will think that I am a sannyasi, I did not enjoy the cars also. Now, neither did I enjoy the physical comforts, nor have I got the worldly opinion in my head. Believe me. Therefore, when he says dependent on nothing, he is talking about the mental dependence. The sign of spiritual evolution is mental dependence. Depending on anatma itself means ajnana. Anatma is that which is constantly changing. Like when you see a kaleidoscope, you can also make a kaleidoscope. Crush the glass pieces and put it in and then, you know. It keeps on changing the pattern. Everything is constantly changing. Anything other than Atma is inherently constantly changing. So since he has this jnanam of Atma, Anatma clearly in him, he has got this viveka, he doesn't become dependent on Anatma. So he uses, but he is never subservient to them. He doesn't do anything, though he is engaged in action. Karmanya bi pravruttopi naiva kinchit karoti saha. Due to whatever reasons he may be found in action, in pravritti marga, he is still not involved in any action. So therefore, it's very clear that he is talking about somebody who is very much in the world, yet out of it. There are other categories of people who are wanting to get out of the world, but very much in the world. There are three categories of people. One whom you call as conformists, other whom you call as rebels, others whom you call as revolutionaries. Conformists mechanically adhere to the society's norms. Rebels mechanically go against the society's norms. Revolutionists neither for nor against. Are you with me? Society may say, best is sannyas. Or best is grahastashram. He is not going to say best is to be free from action or best is to be in action. Whether or not he is in action, as far as he is concerned, he is a non-doer. Though acting, he doesn't do anything. Because his identification with Anatma is completely wrong. Verse 21.
Nirashiryata chittatma Tyakta sarva parigraha Shariram kevalam karma
కుర్వన్నాప్నోతి కిల్బిషం కుర్వన్నాప్నోతి కిల్బిషం నిరాశీర్యత చిత్తాత్మా త్యక్త సర్వ పరిగ్రహః శారీరం కేవలం కర్మ కుర్వన్నాప్నోతి కిల్బిషం. Now here is where a lot of people say, definitely it is talking about somebody who is in sannyasa ashrama. But I personally feel it could even refer to somebody who is in grihastha ashrama. The thing is, shariram kevalam karma, he says. Somebody who is just merely doing bodily action. All these things are pointed out to say that he is just a sannyasi lifestyle, he is living physical body, he uses to do some activity just to maintain the physical body. That's how they interpret it. But what he said here is hoping for not nirashi ashi. He doesn't have any hopes. It's not that he is hopeless though. He doesn't have any hopes means what?
Expectation.
Expectation. What does it mean?
Desire.
Remember this. Whenever you say desire, expectation, you are talking about future. You desire for something that you do not have. Not satisfied in something that you have. You hear me? He is somebody who is satisfied in what he is, what he has been provided with. Therefore, he doesn't hope for something. Because what happens is, Ajnani will say, you must get that, then you will be happy. Jnani will say, you do not know your original nature, therefore you are unhappy. The difference is this. Ajnani will say, if only you get that, you will be happy. Jnani will say, you are unhappy because you are ignorant of your true nature. When you become knowledgeable of your true nature, instantly all expectations go. All expectations go means what? Anything happens, you accept it. Hoping for not. Hoping for not means he doesn't live in future at all. With mind and body controlled. Yata chitta atma. Yata chitta atma. Atma here refers to body. Chitta means mind, thoughts. Yata means control. Yata chitta atma. One who with mind and body controlled. Both his senses and mind are under his control. I mentioned this before. Control simply means you are watching it. You have control when you watch. You lack control when you are not watching it. So, many people who drive cars very fast, they are not there simultaneously as they are driving the car. Watching, one aspect of them is not watching. Hear me. Desire is there, pushing them to drive fast. They have no control. There are people, very few, who drive very fast, but they are very much in
control.
So control means watching, witnessing. Having relinquished all possessions, Tyakta Sarva Parigraha. Having renounced all possessions. What are you in need of possessions? What do you need the possessions for?
Body, mind, pleasure.
Body. You need the car to come here. You need a pen to write. You need a watch to look at the time. Right. But, in other words, all these becomes or has a utilitarian value for something else. But if you are not in a grihastha ashrama at all, you are in a sannyasa ashrama, meaning no activity is there, no running of factory, nothing for you, then you don't need all these things. So some people interpret this verse as jnani, but who is in sannyas. But this also can be interpreted for jnani who is in grihasthau. It is, if you take it literally, relinquishing all possessions, it is sannyas. But if you take it as the mindness in the possessions, then it is grihastha. Relinquishing the mindness in the possessions. You want to question what is in it is mind. For example, your son or daughter. Vedas clearly say, though they are born through you, they are not yours. For example, you ask this question when you say my son, my daughter. What in your son or your daughter is yours? And produce them. You could not produce them if you did not have the urge to produce them. You could not have produced them if you did not have the sperm in you, which has come from the digestion of the food, which has come from nature, which is cooked by the earth, moon, sun, etc. Real thing. Then on what basis do you say this is my son, my daughter? So when he says having relinquished all possessions, he is very very clear. Nothing in this is mine. There is no possessive attitude. For the practical sense you need it. Just like you come to the class, you park the car outside, get inside. Exactly like that, this body is needed for you to travel in the journey of life. So he says, Shariram Kevalam Karma. Doing merely bodily action. Doing merely bodily action. Renouncing all possessions, having no possessive attitude. what gives you unhappiness is not your possessions. Your possessive doing merely bodily action. How do you understand that? Doing merely bodily action means body executes action, but the attitude of doership is not there. Body executes the action, but the attitude of doership is not there. That's why I said there are people whose body is not executing action. But let me see without me how he can do. He is not acting. Bodily he is not acting. But what is inside? Let me see how they complete this work. So he engages his body in action, but his identification is only with Atma, which is a non-dual. He never loses the identification with Atma. Such a person incurs no sin. He incurs no sin. Sin in the context means he incurs no pap or puni. According to Vedanta, from the Jnani standpoint, even punya is a pap. Because anything that will make you take up birth again is pap. Punya is also something that will bring you back. So both pap and punya he does linger. Remember this, when your actions are desirable, if they are driven by good desires, you incur punya. If your actions are driven by bad desires, you incur pap. But if your actions have no motive, no desires, you incur no sin. Any action you take, action of teaching Bhagavad Gita. If this action is done with a selfish motive, I must become famous, I must be known, etc., etc., what will I get back in result is agitation. Other one is, I must help everyone understand the Gita. Everybody's life should become better. The desire is there. But to help others. Now I will gain punya. The third is, I am nobody to help anybody. Nobody to not help anybody. All that I know and my nature is to talk. And the subject Gita is what I know to talk. Therefore I talk. To the best of my ability and get out. I have no desire to develop my name and fame. Nor do I have any desire to help anybody unselfishly, you understand? Simply doing an action. Now this action is not prompted by any motive.
such an action will incur no sin.
For example, this is relatively easy to understand. Yatina's problem, if you are put in, is difficult, which is to kill. You have a motive to kill, but you did not kill physically. Physically, you did not kill, but you wanted to kill somebody. You've been mentally saying, why wish the person drops dead? You understand? But physically, you did not kill them. Somebody has killed the fellow. You still have incurred sins. Right? The difficulty comes when you actually kill somebody, but I have no motive. Then he says you have incurred no sin. For example, a hangman. Does a hangman incur sin? Court is part of judgment. Hang the fellow. Physically, he is hanging the person. In fact, they even cover the face, so he doesn't even know who is hanging. He is just merely doing his duty. Has no motive. Therefore, no sin. You mean the so-called good action done with motive, you will incur punya. The so-called bad action done without motive, you will not incur pap. So it is not the action, the motive, the doership. If you don't understand these verses correctly, you can probably misuse them. What you will do is, you will do all the wrong things and start justifying them. You can justify and cheat others, but you can't cheat yourself, because you will certainly be going through agitations. You think?
But Krishna wants Arjuna to let whatever his standard to kill. I mean, basically wants him to, there is a motive that they want to win the war. So how do you explain this?
See, nobody who enters a field, even sportsmen, would enter the field with the thought of healing.
So then the desire is that
you listen to me. You play the game not with the idea that I am entering to play to free. And you see, I play to the best of my ability, whether I win or I lose. This is my nature, this is my passion, therefore I am going to play. And I play to the best of my ability, and if the result is winning, well and good. If the result is failure, then also no problem. Is what Krishna is talking about here. And why am I playing well? That is my nature. My nature is to play the game. My nature is a Kshatriya. Arjuna is a Kshatriya. The nature is of Kshatriya. Therefore, you are there in the battlefield.
This is Guru versus Brahma. That
would
not
discriminate
to go into war.
That could have been the case. What's the issue here?
He also goes to war, right?
Yes.
So that's not the explanation.
See, there are so many things that is said in the scriptures, as it were. Whereas a Brahmana can teach archery, but he is not supposed to go to the war. This Drona is supposed to have gone to the war also. And that is independent. What Krishna is saying here is, basically it is not a question of Brahmana should go, should not go. If Brahmana means what? One whose mind is in Atma, in the higher. Right? Such a person who can never be in favor of a war. But he is not somebody who is against war. The moment you say somebody is against, please understand this much clearly. The moment you say I am against somebody, what is this? You are bound to that somebody. A rebel is also part of the society. A rebel is also byproduct of the society and part of the society. Because rebel simply does everything ulta from what the society does. He is also bound to the society. Only thing is he is doing all ulta. You get up in the morning, you see everybody wearing the sari, pallu, this way. If you are a rebel, you wear it this way. Like a
Gujarat. I
am not saying all Gujarat is a rebel, but unnecessarily.
If
you think and do, whether you do the same thing what the society says, or you do the opposite of what the society says, you come under the category of revolutionary. In the example that I am giving, I am using the words in a particular way. A conformist, rebel and revolutionist. A rebel, in the way I am using, is simply somebody who goes against society's norms. In fact, the way the society, all societies will create rebels.
Yes,
by forcing themselves upon certain norms, or forcing everybody upon certain norms created by them, they are bound to create rebels. But these rebels are also, if you go deeply in psychology, they are also what? Bound to the society. Because if the society is getting up on it, they say like. But the revolutionist that I am talking about, Vedantin is the word that we use, is not just for the sake of going against egos. He thinks in the context this is the right thing to do. If he has to go against, he'll go against. If that's the right thing to do is to go with, he'll go with.
This is to justify that he has that is his true nature, that so he should go to war. Maybe supposing it is a Shudra who has this, who was put in a similar position. Krishna was still
at the same time. Understand this. Arjuna, the nature is such that when there is a war, he cannot sit down quietly. You find that. There are fellows, 5-6 fellows traveling in a boat. Somebody's nature is to think about Atma Brahma, he is all the time thinking about it. Somebody's nature is gossip monging. Same boat he is also traveling. So many people are gossiping. He is hearing it. This fellow is not hearing them. Because his nature is different. Everybody's nature is different. Okay, since you have this nature anyway,
where when there is a wall that is broken up due to the adamancy of Duryodhan, right? Duryodhan did not listen to every whatever they discussed, nothing. They were ready to give some 5 villages, nothing doing, he said. Due to his adamancy, war is now broken up. You did not create the war. You were not the cause of the war. War is now broken out. When the war is broken out, a Kshatriya's mind, go into the Kshatriya's mind and see. You will see if he is a Kshatriya. Now, Arjuna is not a Kshatriya because society told he is a Kshatriya. Society can say what they want. He was a Kshatriya from within. Okay? That was his nature. Since his nature is like that, even though he will be away physically from the war, his mind will be thinking about the war. Therefore, Krishna is saying, instead of sitting here and thinking about those things, you might as well be there. But Arjuna's problem was, if I am there, I'll have to kill especially my guru. For which Krishna says, being there or not is not going to create sin. It is being a doer there. You understand? So be there, but gain this knowledge which will free you from this doership. If you are freed from the doership, and even if you are there, you don't interest. It's as simple as that. Your nature is there, therefore you will see yourself there. Being in that particular area, which happens to be in the case of this Mahabharata case, is war. In itself doesn't mean you are committing a sin. It is whether you are there with doership or not. That's all you say. What's your question? In the context.
For instance, he has a motive that he wants to go 5 villages or 5 villages, that is why he is going to war. The motive is there, right? That he is fighting the war for justice or for whatever, but it is for that physical 5 kingdoms that Duryodhan is not giving Pandava. It is not without any worship, it's still there to gain something out of it. Whether he loses or he wins. If he loses, he loses. If he wins, he is in the war to gain something there. He's not just in war without doership. Maybe he'll say, okay, he'll benefit my brother. He still thinks that, okay, what will happen in this war? Whether we get something or we don't. Why is he going to war at all?
Missing the point. For example, cup in this sports.
Sorry?
Cup.
Like
they are playing now for IPL cup. There's a cup. Okay. It is not necessary that everybody who is playing in the game is playing for the cup.
They are playing for money.
They
don't care about
it. They are trying to understand the principle now. I have no way to
discuss. No. Cup is not like anything. If it was just that, then maybe Arjuna is a non-doer. But here he has a motive that, okay, my family, I need something out of my family, which is mine.
Dekho, you asked a question, I'm trying to answer. If you fall in love with your question, I have no problem. But please understand, let us not prejudge Arjuna or any sportsman for the matter. Let me finish. The case would be true, like what you say, when he began. But after listening to Lord Krishna's lecture, he could have converted himself to a situation where he entered the battle without any motive. Obviously he is suffering because he has motive. He is not free from motive. Arjuna, nobody is saying Arjuna is free from motive. But all that Krishna is trying to tell Arjuna is, if you are with motive, whether you go to war or not, you are still committing sin. Okay. Instead of that, without motive, you might as well be in the war, because that's your nature. This is Krishna's
answer. Now, whether Arjun really understood and fought the battle without motive or with motive is not what we are concerned about. Do you understand what I am saying? So I gave that, I brought in the example of sports because not necessary. You may think that all sportsmen in the sports are there only for money. That is absolutely your point. You may be correct also. I am nobody to discuss those things. I am not here to discuss those things. I am only trying to say, if a sportsman enters the field because his nature is sports, he loves sports, therefore he plays that game and he plays that well, as a result of which he wins the cup and receives the cup. Merely because he received the cup doesn't mean he played with a motive for cup. Are you with me? Therefore, every sport or war will have a result. Every action will have a result. You can't avoid it. But while acting, that should not be my motto. That's all. But while playing my sport, does it mean that I play my sport without any planning? You tell me. Definitely not. See, I am moving in this direction. When I move in this direction, if my motive is to get somewhere, I'm doing this to get that, then my walking in that direction will give me stress. But while I'm walking in that direction, whether or not I have a motive to get somewhere or not to get somewhere, I should keep my eyes open and walk. Do you agree or not? Can I keep my eyes closed and walk? I have to keep my eyes open and walk. So I plan and function. That in itself is not a proof that I have a motive for getting something. But if I continue walking in that direction, I will be getting there. So getting there was not my motive, but getting there could be my result of my action. Are you with me or not? But if there was some problem in the road, as a result of which diversion, etc., etc., I might not have got there. Doesn't give me agitation. I got there. Doesn't give me excitement. Because when I was walking, have to get there was not there. But when I was walking, love to walk was there. Remember the difference. I'm walking in this direction. In this direction, there are so many places I would be coming across because I'm walking in that direction. Are you with me? While I'm walking in the direction, I have to get there. I have to get there, especially I have to get there before Sapna. I have to get there before Sweta. Then my stress is going on increasing. Are you with me? Another person is also walking. He is not walking to get there. Whether you walk to get there, whether you walk not to get there, don't you have to keep your eyes open and walk? I'm comparing this opening your eyes and walking to planning. Are you with me? In the example, I am walking. In one case, the person is walking because he has to get somewhere. In the other case, he is walking not because he has to get somewhere. He is walking because he loves to walk. Are you with me? The fact
is both may come across the same buildings because they are walking in that direction. But this fellow who walked, because he loves to walk, his walk was such a pleasure. This fellow who walked because he has to, his walk was such a pain. And in all probabilities, the fellows whose walk was predominantly have to get there could have exhausted his energy while walking and died without even getting there. Whereas the person who is walking because he loves to walk, in all probabilities, his energy gets regenerated and he walks across all those buildings. Those buildings, seeing them, he doesn't get excited. If something in between happened, as a result of which lots of detours happened, so he did not come across those buildings, he was not getting rejected. This is all Krishna is saying. I try to put in as simple way as possible without using some great this and that. But this is all he is saying. What is your nature? He talked about Swadharma in the third chapter. What is your nature? You be in that field. Understanding that you are originally, essentially Atma, not the body, mind and intellect. Body, mind, intellect is the doer. Atma is the non-doer. This body, mind, intellect cannot do anything without the support of Atma. But Atma has no doership. Even though it is the Nimitta Karana. Nimitta Karana means enlivening principle. Okay? So if you identify with Atma and you just allow your Swadharma to function, whatever might be your Swadharma, whether it is sports or war, whatever field you are in, since the doership is not there, you have no sin. But you will also probably come across all the buildings, all the names, all the fames, all the results. When all the results come, it makes no difference to you. When all the results did not come for whatever reasons, then also it makes no difference to you. So to say that Arjuna had a motive, I agree with you. But whether Arjuna continued to have the motive after listening to Gita, Arjuna says, my moha is gone. So we take it that his motive temporarily is gone. But whether Arjuna's motive was gone or not, Krishna's message is this. As long as you understand Krishna's message, we are not sitting and discussing Arjuna here.
No, my point is different. Let me answer my question. Arjuna is us. Krishna is not us. And at this chapter where we are today, it seems that it's confusion which has come to us. So to say that I'm in love with my question is your
No, that's fine. But whatever you want to say,
I have an objection to that.
Okay.
Secondly, I was asking that Arjuna here seems like he has a motive. That he wants to reach as a result.
Hmm.
He's not aimless. Even in a sports field, you don't go aimlessly. There is an aim that is there for everyone in life.
Hmm.
Any life that you live, you don't live aimlessly. And you can't say, okay, I love to walk, so that time I'm just walking. I'm not trying to reach anywhere. I could be walking in the forest, I could take right, I could take left. But I'm taking right as if I want to reach at a particular village, I have to take that. And so I will have that motive to reach that village. Because that is my motive.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm out for a morning walk, I can walk any direction, it doesn't matter. So what is Krishna telling us to do here? At this point. What is Krishna telling us, which is us? That okay, you go to war, wanting to why is he forcing Arjuna to go to war? But his nature is saying, okay, maybe I should and I should not.
His nature is not saying that.
That is what I am trying to tell you, Amiji, that you are confusing yourself by thinking. You are thinking that Arjuna is against war, or rather against Kshatriya thing. No, it is just that temporarily.
So Atma has no Kshatriya Shudra Brahman, right? Everyone's Atma is the same. So that's my confusion. That's why
Atma, from Atma point of view, nobody is a Kshatriya Brahmana.
Okay.
We are not talking about that. But as Ami, as Lakshmi Narayana, as each one of us, we have both the mind body complex with Atma, right? We have that. Now I have a nature, you have a nature, everybody has a certain nature. Depending on that nature, you will function. Okay? If that nature happens to be sports, you will be in sports. If that nature happens to be in Kshatriya, you will be a Kshatriya.
Guruji, one question which Ami asked, that why Dronacharya was a Brahmin? Why did he choose to fight? I mean, his nature was being a Brahmin.
Okay, I'll come to that.
Yeah.
So we'll discuss that later on. Let's go one by one. There will be so much of confusion. We'll discuss about Dronacharya thing. I'll discuss certainly. But now this question is, at least the confusion seems to be, yes, Atma doesn't have any nature. Atma is Nirguna. Okay? Guna is of the mind. Now you are a body, mind, Atma complex. Now you have Guna. Now you have nature. Krishna says, act according to your nature. Don't act in the field which is alien to your nature. Number one point. Okay? Number one. And number two, in that field, act without motive. If you have motive, then you will have sin. You will have agitations. You will have disturbances. In that field, act without motive. How can you act without motive in that field? Only if you gain jnana. If you do not gain jnana, if you continue to act motive, like I said, you could reach the goals, you may not reach the goals, but the journey will not be pleasant. But if you can act without motives, the same goals that you are talking about, you will be reaching. Are you with me? The same goals that you are talking about, you will be reaching. Now you are confusing motive with goals. If you say goal is to get there, motive is I have to get there, I must get there. Now this goal is the direction. I love to walk. Now I choose whether I have to walk this direction or this direction. So I say I will walk this direction. Not in this direction. Having set this direction, now don't say I must get to that building or this building. If I start walking, I will be getting to that building eventually, will I not? If I start walking in the direction, will I get to the building or not? But if I bring in that motive inside me, I must get there, I must get there, I must get there, I may get there, or I may die of exhaustion in between. Both possibilities are there. But definitely, my getting there will not be pleasant. So therefore, Krishna is not at all saying you should fight. Anybody and everybody should fight. Arjuna's case is a Kshatriya. If he was not a Kshatriya, when he was in 12 years in the battlefield, in the forest, why was he preparing himself for all this? Therefore, Krishna is saying, since your nature, that's why I told you in one of the classes, if it was Buddha, who also walked away from the palace, Lord Krishna would not have given him the advice. Forget about Lord Krishna giving advice, Buddha would not have asked the advice, because he would not have had any confusion. The very fact that Arjuna came to the battlefield and now hesitating to fight is not because his nature is not to fight, because he saw some obstacle. Believe me, if only those people whom he has problem with said we will keep out of war, he would have freely continued fighting. So you are assuming that Arjun did not want to fight because it was his nature. For which I am saying, that is not the case here. He didn't want to fight not because that was not his nature. He didn't want to fight because he had to kill his guru, his great grandfather, etc. His nature is very much to fight, because his nature was very much to fight. Afterwards he beautifully fought the war. Little knowledge you give or remove the obstacle, the fellow will fight, because the essential nature is to fight. If according to what you say his nature itself was not to fight, therefore he was withdrawing, then if Krishna forced Arjuna to fight, then you are absolutely right. I agree with you. But that is not the case. Definitely that is not the case. When you read the Mahabharata, you feel that. Because later on, he fought brilliantly with little knowledge. Always two things you have to see. If you give knowledge, if the nature was there, he is able to fight beautifully. If you remove the obstacle, if the nature was there, he is able to fight beautifully. If the nature was not there, like Buddha, he would have said bye bye. And he wouldn't have bothered whether Kauravas won the war or Pandavas won the war. So therefore, as far as the nature is concerned, is very clear that Arjuna is a Kshatriya. And Krishna is indeed trying to say, when you are in the battlefield, life is a battlefield. It's a symbolic thing. You battlefield presents challenges are there. You are there amidst the challenges. You do a certain action. You can do the action as a doer or as a non-doer. If you do it as a doer, it has certain effect. If you do it as a non-doer, it has certain effect. If you do it as a non-doer, immaterial of the quality of your action, whether it is good or evil action as per the society, you will not incur sin. If as per the society something is considered good, saving somebody's life, but you did it with doership, then you live kar punya. Punya from Vedantic point of view is pop, because that will give you rebirth. Are you with me? But society considers certain things like killing negative. You did that, but you did that without motive, doership. Then you incur no pop, because you did it as a non-doer. That's all he is saying here. What's your question?
My question was, Ami said that, Dronacharya was a Brahman by birth, by nature. Why did he choose to become a warrior?
Listen to me. Number one, first of all, everybody you are presuming that everybody is in the field according to their nature?
Not particularly.
So in other words, if that was the case, then why should Krishna talk about Swadharma and Paradharma? Ariyudhyama. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what is Swadharma and Paradharma which we discussed? Paradharma means alien nature. Swadharma means one's own nature. If the possibility of you functioning in Paradharma was not there, why would Krishna talk about it? The very fact that Krishna is talking about Paradharma means when he advises, you remember the question or not in the third chapter? Yes or no? The third chapter, verse 35, we discussed about what Lord Krishna talks about Swadharma and Paradharma. You remember that?
Yeah.
What did Krishna say? Better to die in the performance of Swadharma than to excel in performing Paradharma. You remember those words? So that means the possibility of you performing in Paradharma is there or not? Yes or no? What is it mostly?
I mean,
the possibility is there for anyone to be in Paradharma. It could be because of confusion, it could be because it's enforced. The way you said it could be because it's enforced, as if no other reason for which you will be in Paradharma.
Yeah, so we are saying the same thing. It could be naturally enforced.
By
some forces of nature, you know. I mean, Paradharma is alien to whatever you're doing sometimes.
Yes, Meenakshiji, please listen. Paradharma one could be because it is forced by father, mother.
No,
listen to me. Possibility. Or it could be because lot of money in it.
Or an obligation of circumstances.
That's what I'm saying, plenty of reasons. So it is not just because it is forced. I could be in Paradharma because there is, it is convenient. This example we discussed. Father and mother has started a hospital. Our grandfather has started the hospital. Father naturally was a doctor. Grandfather was a doctor. Father had a natural inclination towards doctor. He also became doctor. He married a doctor. Everybody in the family is doctor, let us say. So you are the only son. The hospital is doing very well. Okay. It is convenient for you to get into medicine. But if your nature is different, let us say, to become an automobile engineer. But out of convenience or out of pressure from the parents or whatever, you could have gone into Paradharma. All I am trying to tell you here is this one point, that one could be in Paradharma. Not necessary that one will always be in Swadharma. Rather, one should be in Swadharma. That's what Krishna is saying. But the possibility of one being in Paradharma is there for various reasons. Okay? Because when you ask a question, I understood it this way, that obviously he is in warfare because that was his nature. He was just born a Brahmana, but his nature is? Did you not say this?
Yes, sir.
So now, from what I am trying to say, do you understand that that need not be the case?
Right.
The case may be that his nature was also
Kshatriya.
Brahmana. Nature could have been Kshatriya. I am not saying no to you. But it is not as if that has to have been the case. So his nature could have been a Brahmana. But for convenience he could have taken to
warfare.
He could have been in Paradharma field by force, by convenience, by confusion, by so many reasons. Are you with me?
Yes.
So therefore, whether or not Drona went into the war because his nature was a Kshatriya, though he was born to a Brahmana, that is an independent discussion. That is, for our curiosity, we can discuss all that. But I don't think so, you are asking that. Your main point was this.
Yeah.
For which my answer is this, that is, your nature can be something, you could be functioning in a different way. It is possible. And why you are doing that? For that also there can be so many reasons. But you should try and not be in pardoning.
If you are in pardoning, however convenient and commercially profitable it is for you, you will be in what? Height of frustration. To say it, agitation is a very mild way of putting it. In other words, everything is coming. Everybody is thinking you are in heaven, but inside you are in hell.
This is why he said, Paradharmo Bayavaha.
Though here is not talking about Sudharma Paradharma, this question came. I'm answering this. I only summarized it to tell you that Arjuna was not leaving the battlefield because his nature is not right. Believe me, trust me. At least my take is this. Krishna would not have forced Arjuna into war if his nature was not right.
In fact, remember the instances correctly. Krishna did not go to Arjuna. Arjuna came to Krishna asking to be charioteer in the war.
You all go to God, then difficulty is to be your charioteer in the war?
All the time.
You are taking a different discussion altogether. Your discussion is like all of us go to God. As a devotee, he went to God. Then the discussion is taken in a different direction. We are now talking about as Arjuna went to Krishna, not approached him as God. Then you are changing the whole. I can discuss with you in that direction also. But that is not the direction in which we were discussing. Arjuna went to Krishna to be his. He needed a good charioteer, and Krishna is his good friend also. So he went asking for help. Because his nature is to fight, and there is a war that is confronted, he wanted to be there.
He did not have a motive.
For all practical purposes, I believe Arjuna had a motive. If Arjuna did not have a motive, he would not have wanted to leave the so that in the very first place. If he was a jnani, the very fact that he had motive, he wanted to leave. But Krishna is only trying to tell, leaving the battle is not the solution to you because you have the nature. Therefore, the solution is what?
Gain the jnana of Atma. And fight?
No.
Identify with Atma, not with
unrelated. You spoke about accumulating punya karma. So my question is that today we've been very blessed, we've been given so much. So if God has put you in a situation where you have the capacity or capability of helping anybody, anything. How are you even accumulating any punya? You've got much, much more. So how can you accumulate any kind of punya?
Accumulating punya is not through the action, it is through the intention. So you do an action of giving with a motive, with a doership attitude, then you incur punya.
But how can you give? You are nobody to give. You can only give if
God. You are thinking you give. If that's what you are thinking, then you don't incur punya. I told you already. Just because you give doesn't mean you incur punya. Just because you kill doesn't mean you incur pap.
This is what I've been saying from the beginning. Pap is there, punya is there if you had motive, not action. If it is action per se, then whether you do
good action or bad action, you are going to get punya and pap. You are born in a family and you feel you are enough and you are distributing wealth. While distributing wealth, if you are doership, you will gain something.
That's the problem. It will be the
doership. Exactly. While
the attitude.
While being a kshatriya, you have to kill somebody. If you have the doership, then you gain power. But if you did not have the doership, you don't gain power. So remember, what gains you punya or paap is doership, not the
action.
Let's conclude.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vishishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.